72. Stand, turn to page 72.
Road you travel. had a request for this song, so. Was the creator.
If he hung the moon, he can take care of our problems, can't he? Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? I want to encourage you again that no one has said anything about church membership. We just want to open the doors, and if you're interested, please say something to me today or pretty soon, and we can get it work. I've not had anyone yet showing interest in it since we've mentioned it. So if you will, any baptism you can think of. And two, I'd like to encourage you to come to Sunday school. I'd like to, we have good studies in our Sunday school classes, and we try maybe doing a little bit of revamping, doing a few things. And I was a Sunday school superintendent at Limestone a long time. I've got a special heart for Sunday school. And Brother Tim's doing a tremendous job, and our teacher's doing good. And would like to encourage you to come and try it out. It's not too bad. Not too bad, as long as I don't teach none, so we'll be all right. But I would just like to put a plug in for that and encourage you to come. And this spring be a good time to build up and build our Sunday school up. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, we are still in the parables. In the parable of the two sons today. Now I'm going to tell how old I am. I remember when I was a kid, a show that would come on, My Three Sons. How many remembers that? Oh, so most remembers that. Now today we're going to talk about My Two Sons. Instead of My Three. But if you would, stand with me. We'll start at verse 28 in chapter 21. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this passage. Lord, we ask you today that you'd just anoint and bless. God, you'd open up our minds and our hearts today, and that you would speak to us. And we would be receptive to whatever you have in store for us. And Lord, I ask you and invite the sweet Spirit of God to move in this time, and you'd touch our hearts, challenge us today, and encourage us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The background of this passage here, this parable is found from verses 23 to 27. And we see in this whole chapter that previously Jesus had come into triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then he cleansed the temple. And then they questioned his authority. He cursed the fig tree. They questioned his authority. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they won't know but what authority that he was doing and doing the things. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, John the Baptist, was it of God or not? They couldn't answer. They said, well, if we say he was not of God, then the people will stone us because they believe John to be a prophet. He said, if we do, then they're going to say, well, why didn't you listen to him and do what he wanted you to do? and do what that God had called him to do. So they said, we can't answer. And he said, I'm not going to answer you either. Amen. And we see this, and we come down to this parable. And this parable is kind of a mirror to those that Jesus is speaking about here, and about the two types. And as we look, and we look at these two sons, and as he comes in this parable, it starts out here in verse 28, and Jesus said, But what think ye? And boy, I tell you, that is a pointed question, ain't it? And it opens up a lot of discussion a lot of times. What do you think about it? And he's saying, and he's asking them here, what think you? And this is a design to make us to think about things. And this morning that he thinks and he challenges us, and he comes with questions, and a lot of teachers, and Jay, and a lot of us, and I do too, we try to come up with thought-provoking questions to get the wheels a-turning. If we don't exercise your mind, then you'll waste it. I'm way out there. I have a lot of different thoughts and think about a lot of different things and crazy. And if I thought shared everything I thought, you'd say he is absolutely insane. But God said, Jesus said, what do you think? You know, there's a lot of people perish because they don't think enough. If you are impulsive and you act before you think, that's dangerous. I don't care if you're buying a vehicle. I don't care if you're buying a home. I don't care if you're spending money or if you're making a decision where to go on vacation. You probably ought to think it out. You might go somewhere that don't even have a restaurant. Hey, wouldn't that be bad? Rhonda told me early on, we got married, we was going to go somewhere on vacation. I said, we can get one with a kitchenette in it. And she said, I'm not cooking on vacation. Discussion never come up again. She laid the line down quick. And I understand, and I respect her for it. But then wrong thinking is just as bad. A lot of the troubles and the things that we go through and a lot of the temptations and a lot of things that we give into starts between the ears. Amen? And we allow it to cultivate, and then our thoughts becomes a habit. And a habit becomes habitual, and then comes sin. So Jesus is here talking about the thinking, and he has designed this question and this parable to get the wheels a-turning, and said, now I'm going to give you this parable. What do you think about it? And this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about the things of God, and wow, what a Sunday school class this morning, as I'm putting a plug in, what a thought-provoking of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ this morning in the Sunday school class. Woo! We've seen in chapter 8 of Matthew, and we've seen he's got control over disease, and he's got control over so many things. And now we come in, we've seen this morning, he's got control over the elements. He said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power and all authority. He is all powerful. And as we see here that he's thought provoking these folks. And boy, I've got to get on or we'll be here all day. Want to look at what the Father commanded in this. A certain man had two sons. And he said, go work today in my vineyard. Now, when I was at home growing up, if I'd have said, I will not, I wouldn't have considered it. If it, like my daddy used to say, they'd have been a walking slow and a singing low. But anyway, we see, he said, I want you to go work in my vineyard. And can I go on the record? Can I just say right now that it's about the same way as when it comes to the work of God? It's not an option. We have in Matthew chapter 28 the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. And I'm afraid that we think of it as the Great Suggestion. Well, Lord thinks that we ought to do this. It's a command. Go ye therefore. Acts 1:8, it's a command. After the Holy Ghost has came upon you, ye shall be witnesses. I guess it's just up to us what kind of witness that's going to be. But we look, the Father commanded, he said, go work in my vineyard. The Father's vineyard needs work. There's work to be done in the vineyard of the Lord. There's work to be done in the church. There's souls to be reached. There's things to be done. There's always something that needs to be done. If you look around and you look around enough, you will see something in the church that needs work done. You'll see a job, a task that's not being done. Somewhere on the property, around in the work, in the line of the work of the church and things. And when that thought comes to your mind and you say, boy, somebody ought to do that. Guess what? Woohoo! It might be you. And that's how often God stirs His will in our hearts. He places a burden upon our hearts about a specific thing. And then He says, maybe you ought to do that. Boy, y'all are quiet. I'm going to pull my handkerchief out in. And we looking here and thinking about this vineyard and about the work of the vineyard. And I tell you, as we look and we see here, the first thing that says the basis of the Father's claim, he said, son. Boy, I tell you now, you're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. He could hire plenty of workers to come in. He could have hired people to come in. But it's the son's obligation to do it. My daddy wasn't going to pay for somebody to come put up hay and tobacco when I could walk. Fever, sick, and all. Amen? He wasn't going to pay somebody when old Timbo could get up there. And Jesus and God, the Father of the vineyard of the work of God, is not going to hire hirelings in when He's got a house full of children that's able to do the work of the Lord. And He moves and stirs our hearts with things that we ought to do. Not only that, have you got a talent? Boy, y'all quiet. You're afraid I'm going to put you to work, ain't you? It's not the Army. The Army asks you got driver's license, you get to run the wheelbarrow. But I'm not going to do that. We're still looking for my talent, and when we find it, I'm just such a good talker. The Lord said, I'm going to make a preacher out of that boy. But son, go work in the vineyard. See, we ought to be constrained by the love of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ arrests us. The love of Christ gets a hold of our hearts. And the love of Christ gets a hold of us in such a way that we want to do everything in our power to be obedient to the calling of the Lord. We want to be obedient to every jot and every tittle of the Word of God. We want to be obedient to His will in our lives. We want to be obedient to the moving of the Spirit of God, that we allow God to move us and use us in the way that He sees fit. See, now there's the attitude of a son. Now, with my daddy, I wasn't that concerned about satisfying him, except it means less trouble for me. He had all authority down on the farm. There's no doubt about that. But it shouldn't be out of fear, out of love. The love in our heart constraineth the love of Christ. See, can I share with you something? Now, this is going to really give us. We don't deserve to be saved and on our way to heaven. We deserve hell. I said, we deserve hell. That ought to stir us up. That ought to get us motivated to want to get in the vineyard. And guess what? That I don't have to go to hell, and I can lead somebody else to the Lord, and they don't have to either. I'm convinced, and I'm afraid, and I was talking to a preacher not too long ago before the association meeting, and we was talking about preaching at association meeting, preaching to preachers, and he said, my dad preached about hell at one. At association meeting, full of preachers. Why? Because we have forgot the terribleness. We are forgetting how horrible it is of this place called hell. We've watered it down. We don't preach about it. We don't think about it enough. We don't consider it. Everybody's saved. Everybody's on their way to heaven. Everything's hunky-dory, preacher. And I'll tell you what, there's a place called hell. And if we don't accept it, Jesus Christ in our lives, we'll wake up, as the Bible says, as a rich man in Luke chapter 15. And in hell he lifted his eyes. And not only us, it ought to motivate us that your neighbor is going to hell. Your loved one is going to hell if they've not been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It ought to motivate us to want to do everything in our power to win folks for the Lord. See, if we're sons of God, and then surely our fathers, we ought to be our first claim. It ought to be all of our time, all of our strength, and all of our substance. Ought to be, His will ought to come first in every one of those. In our time, our treasures, and our talents. I know, and I've said it a lot of times, what if we tithed our time? 2.4 hours a day. That gets a lot of strange looks when I say that. If we tithed our time, what of our talents? What can you do? What are you good at? Man, you always, usually it's not this quiet. Then we're going to have to put on the screen here and have it lighten up when I want amen. See, our father could hire strangers, but sons are commanded to work. How many believes John 1:12? I can't remember it exactly. But we have become able to be called the sons of God. If we're saved, we are called the sons of God. I tell you, with a son, there's a little bit of responsibility comes with that. Because the Heavenly Father believes just like my daddy did. If my daddy would have come in and the yard wasn't mowed and the hogs hadn't been fed and the hogs was out because I hadn't fixed the fence and I was sitting in the house watching television or playing a video game, Come on! That Nintendo would have flew out the window. Hey, man, I had to do, I had work that I had to do, and I was the son, and it was my responsibility that those little pigs, and they call them shoats when they get a little bigger and they grow up, it was my responsibility to make sure that those fellas was fed. And if they started looking gay, amen, somebody's in trouble, and it wasn't the pigs. And I hope I'm not laboring on this too much and going too far with this morning, but the Father called upon these and he said, son, he said, you're mine. I have raised you. You are where you are because of me. The clothes you wear, I put on your back. The food you eat, I grace you and give it to you. The bed you sleep in tonight, I give it to you. Everything that you do is because of the gifts that I have given you. Glory, hallelujah. All good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness. We live in nice homes, most of us now. We have decent vehicles. We have good clothes to wear. Now, just about say every one of us in here is going to go eat something in a little bit. Amen. Some of us more than others, but some of us will eat something. It's because of him. He has given it to us. You must say, preacher, I worked for everything I got. Well, I did too. But it's still his blessings. I could be laid up in a nursing home or laid up in the bed and not able to walk and not able to make money. And it's his blessings and his goodness and the good gifts from above that I can even take a breath this morning. I was thinking about this son and the prodigal, the two sons and the prodigal come up to me. But when the prodigal come back, he said, the father gave him the ring, the shoes, and the robe. That's a sign of sonship. He said, I'm taking care of your needs. You're mine. And I love you. If we're here this morning and we are saved by the grace of God, it's because of his mercy and his grace. And we are saved and on our way to heaven. Glory, hallelujah. We are sons of God, children of God, on our way to heaven. We ought to be lined up to want to go to the vineyard and work for it. Then we see the desire of the Father's heart. Based on his claim, he said, you're mine. I still can't get off that. I was trying to go on. He says, you're mine. You've been bought with a price. You know what I get? I'm afraid that we get after we've been saved a long time and we do the things of God and we get involved in the work of God, we somehow think we deserve something. That's called entitlement. And you say, preacher, there's none of us bleeds a hat. Now get off of that. What about when we don't get everything we want? Lord, I prayed over and I go to church every Sunday I do. And I didn't get it. And then what happens, the devil slips in and says, God don't love you. If God loved you, then he would have done this for you. And then we get that horrible disease called pooch lip. We get the pooch lip. We get like Isaiah in the cave. I'm the only one left. God don't love me no more. Come on! God, if God loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. If God loved me, this wouldn't happen. If God loved me, and I'm just, we get in the cave of despair, the cave of discontentment, the cave of discouragement, the cave of anxiety. We get in all this, and we sit in there, and we have our little pity parties, and we just think, I'm the only one left. God showed up to Isaiah that day and he said, what are you doing in this cave? Well, Lord, I'm the only one. Then the power came, the winds, the storms, the thunder, the earthquake. And he still didn't see God. The Bible says then he went and poked his head out the cave. Then he stood out where God told him to get. Then the still small voice came. He said, Isaiah, what are you doing? I've called you to be a prophet. You get back. You've got two kings that you've got to pour oil, anoint. Elisha's out, going to be out working in the field. He's going to take your place. Now get to work. Get out of this cave and get to work. My daddy would say, get out of the house and get to work. Get out of our complacency and the things and everything that we think it's all about us, and that Jesus came and he did come for us, but he come for mankind, and that he come and he as he came and he placed a job upon every one of us, and we've all got a job to do. All right, I'm going to move on. He said, son, and then he said, go work. Now, the desire of the Father's heart is for his children to be busy in the vineyard of the Lord. What a grief and what a feeling that the Lord must have when he looks out into the vineyard and he sees all the vineyards white with harvest, and we're sitting on the front porch drinking sweet tea. Wonder how the other half lives. Hey man, you know what my daddy called volunteers? Crop killers. Rondo Verify, he called them crop killers. He said, get them crop killers out of here. We got to get in the field. That's the way that the Father, the Lord of the vineyard, and the Father here said, get out of the lawn chair and get your hoe and get to the garden. Get your briar size and get to the fields. Get out in the field today. We would say, grab the weed eater and go cut the fence rows out. Grab your hoe and go to the garden. Do whatever it is that there's working. The Bible says that the fields are ripe with harvest. But what's the problem? The labors are few. Well, there's more Christians than there are anybody in the percentage wise. If you look, why are we not got enough laborers? Man, y'all quiet. You'd quit talking to me and everything. It's because we're sitting in the crop killers. Amen. Come on, say amen, preacher. You're plowing right up next to the corn now. The labors are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll give you another crop killer, said him. No, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'll send labors. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, send the labors into the harvest. He said pray, did he not? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Guess what? If we'll get into the harvest fields and we'll do the plowing and we'll do the cultivating and we'll do the cleaning, and Brother Harvey will jump up and testify this, he'll send the rain, he'll send the sunshine, and he'll bring the increase. Come on, that house ought to have shouted right there. If we'll do our part, we'll get the garden ready, and we'll plant the seed, and we'll go out and we'll keep it clean, I'll guarantee you, God will do his part. He said, boys, get your hoes and get out to the field, and get out to the harvest field. See, though, when our work, it's pleasing to the Father. When we do his will, it pleases the Father. Who is it that the Bible said Jesus come back to get? Those that are doing the will of the Father. Woo! Can I tell you a statistic, and you not get mad at me? This is a national statistic. Church statistic. 20% of the people does 80% of the work. That is a known statistic in church-wide, in the nation. What if we had 100% participation with what 20's doing? Come on! Smile at me. Lord, send the labors into the harvest. Boys, get your hold and get out. See, it's pleasing to the Father and it's good for the vineyard. I can drive down the road and I can show you a lazy farmer and I can show you a hard-working farmer. All you got to do is drive by his farm. No way ifs or buts about it. That's just plain old language right there. When that hard worker spends the time, it's good for the vineyard. It looks better and it produces more fruit. Amen? Boy, ain't you glad you got these lessons this morning? That's this. Y'all didn't know this, did you? It pleases the Father. It's good for the vineyard. Now listen here, ought to motivate us. It's profitable for the Son. If Daddy gets 100 bushel of taters, guess what? The old boy gets his part of them. Amen? If the hogs do good, whoo! We'll eat bacon and ham and pork chops. Come on! It's this common sense stuff, ain't it? Even old country boy can figure this out. When Daddy does good, I do good. The farm produces when I do what Daddy wants me to do, and when I go work like he said to do, then it produces good. And I still to this day remember one set of hogs, group of hogs that we raised up. They did better than any of the others that we ever did. And guess who my daddy gave credit for that? Me. Of all the things he could have done, he said, boy, you done good on these. Them's good looking pigs. One time, I remember in potatoes, I worked on this patch of potatoes harder than I ever did. Kept the dirt up around them. We got 60 bushel. Daddy said, boy, tell me you done good. I don't know about you. I'm kind of strange, I guess. But to get that from Daddy meant a lot to me. He said, boy, you've done good. I mean, I done enough bad, I didn't hear it much. Most time I was getting not jerked. But he said, son, you've done good. When we obey the will of the Father, it's that's good for the farm, and we gain from it. Amen. Boy, I just touched the iceberg of this parable. You may get it tonight, some more of it. But I want to encourage us. Are you saved this morning? Are you a Christian? Don't do this much. If you're saved on your way to heaven, slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm saved today." Amen. I think it looks like the whole house is saved. I'm preaching to the right crowd. We are children of God. We have been saved from hell into eternal life. Our souls has been spared. He smiled down upon us and we were going our way to heaven. Glory! Hallelujah! I don't know about you. That excites me. Boy, that ought to motivate us to want to get the plow and get in the field. Amen. Because we say if mom ain't happy at my house, if daddy wasn't happy, nobody's happy. Now it's if Rhonda ain't happy, I sure ain't happy. But we get to the field and it's good for the vineyard. How many of us like them big old tomatoes cut up and fried potatoes? Fried potatoes, soup beans, corn on the cob, cake of cornbread. Richard, you're killing us. It's almost dinner time. And a big old thing of butter right on top of it. And that blessed thing, it makes everything taste good, salt. See, that is the blessings of a good vineyard. Amen. And I think we're right now ready to see some fruit. We need to see some fruit in the church. It's been a while since we've seen somebody walk the aisle. It's been a while since I've been able to baptize somebody. Let's get busy. Let's get busy in the work of the vineyard. And guess what? This time next year, we'll be cutting those tomatoes. We'll be eating them potatoes. We'll be reaping the blessings of a good, profitable crop. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you, Father, for this.